Hey, let me start off with what I think is Dave Ramsey's favorite verse in the Bible. Let no debt remain outstanding. He talks about that one a lot. And to get into where I want to talk about this morning, to get you all thinking with me, what do you owe? What do we owe? And how far do you take this verse? Romans 13, verse 8. How far do you take it? Let me give you some questions. Talking about being in debt to somebody, on a very simple scale, is it okay to ask your neighbor for a rake, to borrow a rake? Would that be acceptable? Is that all right? And if you pass that part of the test, then let me ask you another question here. What about, let's say you go to McDonald's and with some buddies, some friends, and you realize you forgot your wallet. So you just sit there and starve, or do you say, hey, can somebody spot me $5 so I can get me a cheeseburger? And would that be acceptable? That means you're indebted to that person now, right? Unless they just give you the money, which my friends don't do that. But they say, yeah, you know, here's your $5, just pay it back, you know, $7. And is that acceptable to borrow a couple bucks from a buddy? And then this leads to a tough question here. Is it okay to borrow money for your mortgage? So if you're comfortable with this, not you don't have to do this by any means, but if you have a mortgage, will you raise your hand? Okay, so not just me. Okay, good. All right. I didn't think it was just me. But is that okay if the Bible says be in debt to no one, let no debt remain outstanding? That's what it says in Romans 13, 8, let no debt remain outstanding. Is it okay that you have a mortgage? Which leads to the fourth question here. Can a church borrow money for a mortgage to add on or something? Not that we're going to do that. Not that we're doing that right now. You know, I don't want to scare you guys. I'm just trying to put this verse in context here. Let no debt remain outstanding. And here's my point is that's not the point. This verse is not about finances, which could be very surprising to you, especially because I know I've used it before in some sermons about finances. But this, it's not about finance. So I want us to look at it in context. Whether it's wise to borrow money for a house or for a car or for an appliance or for an education or for a church should be based on a whole lot more than this one text. This cannot be your proof text that says, you know, thou shalt not borrow money to build a church. We are to be good stewards. I mean, the Bible makes that very clear. We are to be good stewards, and we are not to be materialistic. So we got to be very careful. Are we just becoming just like the rest of the world when it comes to all these blessings that God has given us? And there is power, no doubt, there is power and freedom from being debt-free. It's a wonderful place to be if you can get there, and I'm not there. But if you can, praise God. I'm all about that. That's great. But that is not what this verse is about. And I want to read it in context here. Romans 13, let me pick it up at verse 7. It says, give to everyone that you owe. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. And what I'd like to think with you guys about, you know, think logically with me about this here. Romans 13, verse 8 is not about money, and it's not about taxes. Although it says, if you owe taxes, pay taxes. Those who say, you know, we should never go in debt, do they say that you should never pay taxes? I mean, we need to pay taxes. When have you paid all your taxes? I'm thinking about this. I don't know what the right answer to that is. I mean, I'm thinking April 15th, but if I pay all my income taxes, then I still owe my property taxes. And as soon as I pay my property taxes, the next day, I owe more property taxes. So how do you ever get ahead of this game? You can't get ahead of this game. You know what I'm saying? It's the same thing's true with money. Same thing's true with respect. When have you respected somebody enough where, hey, I've met my quota today. You know, I've respected you enough, and I'm not going to respect you anymore, okay? I'm just not going to do that. Our honor. When have you honored somebody enough? In the Bible, I mean, here's the point. I mean, with taxes, you'll never get paid up with your taxes. With honor, you'll never get paid up. With respect, you'll never get paid up. And with your mortgage, you'll probably never get paid up with that either. Sorry. I mean, that's just depressing right there. But it's about love. It's the verse is about love. Let no debt remain outstanding except to the continuing debt to love one another. We need to love one another. And we need to understand that's a debt that can never be paid. And this is not an action. This is very important for where I want to go today. This is not an act. Loving each other is not an action. It's a mindset. The mindset that I am indebted to you. You are indebted to me. We are indebted to each other. And we need to love each other. And I take this back to Romans 12, verse 2, where we've been for several weeks right now. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. And I want us to think about the subject of love, our brotherly love, that it can never be repaid. This love that we owe each other. If you love someone at 11 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, you still love them. You still owe them that love. You can never be done with loving someone. Just like taxes, just like mortgage, just like honor. When are you done with that? You're never done. And the problem, a problem that I want to point out here, is Christians historically have used this verse to justify why a church should never go in debt. And there seems to be more concern about the church's finances than there is about the church's responsibility, our ability, our capacity to love one another. Not saying that finances is not important. Yeah, of course that's important. But look how much we've exalted that issue versus the issue of let's love each other. Let's get back to loving one another. We have a responsibility to love one another. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Let me share with you several verses here. Romans 12, verse 9 says love must be sincere. We talked about this in Romans 12. Love must be sincere. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. That's an act of love. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And I would tell you that good is love, with love. And here's another thing I would point out to you. As we've been studying the book of Romans, Romans 1 through 11, Romans chapters 1 through 11 is all about how God loves us. And you can see this in verses like Romans 5, 8. God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 8, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Can anything separate you from the love of Christ? And that's what Romans 1 through 11 is all about, how God loves you. And now we've turned a corner. When we hit Romans 12, we've turned a corner. It's about now how God loves through you. The rest of the world needs to experience this love. This is why this needs to be our mindset, that I am forever indebted to the people around me to love them, to love them. So let me ask the next question. Who do we owe? Who do we owe? Not what we owe, but who do we owe? Who am I indebted to? Do we owe a debt of love to everyone? And I'll go back to this verse. It says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. So what I got underlined here is your fellow man. You need to love your fellow man. We are indebted to, this includes good people, the easy ones to love. It includes bad people, the hard ones to love. So I sum it up as all people. We need to love all people, which includes poor people. This is why we have those financial boxes back, the generosity boxes back there. So you can put money in those boxes so we can bless all people, including poor people. It includes needy people. And I wrote this down. Debbie's got a fundraiser coming up here in February 6th, right, for Bobby Sloan. I don't know Bobby Sloan, but apparently he's a 31-year-old guy who has Crohn's disease, and she wants to help the guy out, so they're using the church February 6th to do a fundraiser. And I'm thinking, this is our chance to love on somebody. Do you need to know the person before you love them? Can we love a total stranger? So we love good people. We love bad people. We love all people. All people includes your enemies. And I go back to what we talked about this a few weeks ago. Love your enemies. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Do not overcome evil with evil, but overcome evil with good, with love. And I would ask you to consider the Good Samaritan. Remember the story of Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10? And how that gets... What happened here? You got a guy who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho, supposedly a Jewish man who was traveling, and he gets robbed, he gets beaten up, he's left for dead, and all these people pass him up and walk right past him, walk over him. They don't help out at all until a Good Samaritan comes along. A Samaritan, his enemy. The Samaritan takes pity on the guy. The Samaritan bandages the wounds up. The Samaritan carries him off to somebody to take care of him and says, whatever the bill is, you send the bill to me. That is love. Jesus says, that is loving your neighbor. That's what love is all about. So it includes your enemies. It includes governing authorities. It's what we talked about last week. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities. So I'm looking at this, and I'm reading this, and I don't know if you all read your Bible like this, but I'm trying to connect this passage with that passage with this passage. Did Paul just change the subject on us, or is all this stuff linked together? And then last week, we talked about submitting to the governing authorities. And I'm telling you, this week is because that's an act of love. We need to respect them. We need to honor them. We need to love them. We need to be good citizens. That's the way we show love for our community, is by showing proper respect and honor to our governing authorities. If we truly love our neighbors, then that would be a way of demonstrating that love, is by being a good citizen, is how that would happen. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 14, he says, I'm obligated. And the word obligated, that's another word for in debt, right? He's in debt to both, he says, Greeks, barbarians, wise, and the foolish. So I'm looking at that verse, I'm thinking, he's obligated to all these different people, the Greeks, the barbarians, the wise, the foolish. Basically, you can replace that with the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. Everybody, love them all. Love them all. He says he's obligated. And then I got thinking about this, something where we are obligated, you and I as Christians, as God's people, he says he's obligated to the Greeks, the barbarians, the wise, and the foolish. Christians are obligated to be a living sacrifice. It's what we've talked about for several weeks now. We are obligated to be a living sacrifice because of all that God has done for us. We are obligated not to live according to our flesh, but to live by the Spirit. We are obligated to that. Christians are obligated to honoring the governing authorities. And in a couple weeks from now, we're going to be in Romans chapter 15. The strong are obligated to take care of the weak. We're obligated to that. And I would tell you, of all the obligations we have, perhaps the highest obligation that we have is to love our fellow man. The first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your mind, all your strength, everything you have. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. We are obligated. Just like Paul was obligated, we are obligated. So who do we owe? Everybody. Everybody, we owe this love. But then the question is, why? Why do I owe a total stranger love? Why? And once again, Paul says, this is Romans chapter 1, verse 5, through him and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all nations to the obedience that comes from faith. And I'm looking at this verse, and I break it down. And through Christ, and for his name's sake, we are to share God's love. The love that we have received. The love that you didn't deserve that love. While you were still a sinner, that's when he loved you. You didn't deserve that. So we're talking about these strangers, these people we don't know. They don't deserve that. You didn't deserve it. None of us deserve it. But through Christ and for his name's sake, we are to share God's love with people from all nations, all nations. Christ loved us while we were still sinners, while we were still living as enemies of God. He loved us then. And it was a free gift that we are now to share with others. And you've heard the term before, to pay it forward. I can't help but to think this is where that came from. Pay it forward. You can't pay God back, but maybe I can demonstrate this love that he gave to me. Maybe I can demonstrate that love to other people. That's the only hope that we have of paying God back. Not that we could ever pay God back, but we pay it forward. He loved us. Now we love others. We owe this debt of love. Why? Because he first loved us. First John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. 1 John 4:11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought, which is another word for obligated. We are obligated to love one another. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Matthew 10:8 says, freely you have received, now freely give. Freely you received this love from God, now freely pass it on to the people around you. The people who've hurt you, the people you don't know, the people who need to experience the love of Christ, pass it on. Not because they have given us anything, but because Jesus Christ has given us everything. When we were no more deserving than they. And there's a few more things that I want to share with you here. On the back page here, I got extra points. I didn't know how to write it down. You know, just a couple extra points. I didn't know what to do with. So here we go. One is, first of all, in Romans 13:8-10, it talks about how love fulfills the law. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has what? Has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are all summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And this caused me to ask some questions here because we're not under the law, right? We're not under the law, so who cares, right? We're under the new covenant. The new covenant is better than the law. The new covenant has replaced the old covenant, the old law. And all we have to worry about is if I love God and I love you, you know I love people, then I have done what the law has asked me to do. Verse 7 talks about owing taxes, and verse 8 talks about owing love. Now I'm thinking, is there a link between these two things here? Owing taxes and owing love, are they linked together? Think with me for a moment. How much? Oh, this is depressing. How much taxes we pay? Why do we owe so much? How come we pay so much taxes? And I wonder if it's because we lack this thing called love. And I'm thinking. I wrote down a couple of different areas in life. You know, things like divorce and things like war and things like crime. And imagine a world where none of this stuff existed. There was no war, and there was no crime. And the family unit actually worked like the family's supposed to work. And a husband loved his wife, and the wife respected her husband, and the children were brought up in this family unit, and it was a beautiful thing. And if there was no family issues because we loved each other, and if there was no war because we loved each other, and if there was no crime, nobody stole from anybody because we loved each other, and we cared about each other, we cared about our community. If none of these things happened, then we would need no military. And we would need no police, and we would need no judicial system, which I'm thinking those three things right there probably make up a big part of where our taxes go. Why do we pay so much taxes? It's because we're not doing a good job of loving each other. If we would be a people, a nation, a world that actually loved each other, I think your taxes would go down. That's what I'm saying. Our greatest problem is our lack of love for one another. Love is a radical force that Jesus unleashed through the church, which means it starts with us. If the world's ever going to change, it's got to start here. It's got to start with us implementing this commandment that the Lord has given us. If you have Jesus, then you have the ability, you have the responsibility, you have the obligation to love. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. So that's the first point. Love fulfills the law. Second thing I want you to see here in this verse is love seizes the moment. Let me read verses 11 and 12. It says, do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. What does it say? It says, understand the present time. The hour has come. We need to wake up from our slumber. The dawn is coming. The day of the Lord is near. And you and I, we have friends and we have family members who still have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because they have not experienced the love of Christ through his people, through the church. There's work to be done. There's work to be done. We need to wake up. We need to have a sense of urgency. I'd love for the church today, our church and every church, to have a sense of urgency. We don't just go to church Sunday to Sunday to Sunday because that's what we've been taught to do. We come here, we get our marching orders, and we go out there and we implement this. We are the living body of Christ. We are here to make a difference. Then this is one way we can make a difference, by loving each other. And you think about how to love. How am I supposed to do this? Okay, I understand that I'm supposed to be loving people, but how? Well, be devoted to one another. Share with one another. Practice hospitality. What does it say in Matthew 25? It talks about visiting those in prison and clothing the naked and feeding the hungry and visiting people when they're sick. I mean, all these different things that we can do, we can implement to show them the love of Jesus Christ. Last point, we must clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ. Let me read 13 and 14. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. See, none of that's love. This is the stuff that hurts people. That doesn't show love to people. That hurts people. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. And I read this, and one of the things I'm thinking is we cannot effectively love people when we're living in the flesh and living for our flesh. The Bible says we must make no provisions for the flesh. We must wake up and quit living for the flesh. We must put on Jesus Christ. We must depend on Jesus Christ. We must live for Jesus Christ. We must walk in the Spirit, is what the Bible talks about. And so think with me a little bit about the, you know, when it says clothe yourself with Jesus Christ. Think about it. When I woke up this morning, I put on my clothes, and thinking that they were going to be with me all day long. And they would go where I'd go, and they would do what I would do. You know, I raise my hand, my shirt goes with it. It's kind of weird how that happens, you know. And they would cover me and make me presentable. They would make me decent, you know. And you think about the same principle. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We make him a part of our life. We take him where we go. And what he does, we do. What we do, he does. Because Jesus Christ is living inside of us through the Holy Spirit. So we put on Jesus Christ. And notice how it says, clothe yourself with. Notice how this says this. I think this is important. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty much gives his full title right there, right? Lord, his full name here. Lord represents his authority, his power to rule. I put on Jesus, my Lord. He controls me. Satan doesn't control me. Satan can't touch me because Jesus is my Lord. I live for him. I follow him. I do what Jesus tells me to do. So first of all, we put on the Lord. Secondly, we put on Jesus. And when I think about the name of Jesus, it represents God's love. And you think about John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. Why did he give us Jesus? Because he loves us. And through Jesus, we see Jesus loving the leper, and we see Jesus loving the blind man. We see Jesus loving the tax collector, and we see him loving the untouchables and the outcasts. And through Jesus, we see love. We see the love of God. So put on the Lord, Jesus, Christ. That word Christ means, it's a Greek word for the Hebrew word, Messiah. In English, it means anointed one. Put on the Lord, the ruler, the master, Jesus, the example of love, the model of love, Christ. The anointed one. He was anointed by God to deliver us from sins. And what does this world need? It needs deliverance from its sins. Deliverance only comes by experiencing the love of Jesus and by making him Lord. To your heart, lead me to